Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Psachim Pedalot. We're at the Mishnah, which is three lines from the top of the Amud. Kol hanechal b'sher hagadol. Any portion of the animal which can be eaten, which is soft and tender enough to be eaten, when it is already a fully grown, mature ox, he ochel b'gdi harach. That piece of meat, that piece of portion of the animal, can be considered edible in the tender, young gdi. Meaning, sometimes you have something which is soft and edible in a young goat, in a young sheep, but is no longer edible once the animal matures and grows. For instance, the sher hagadol. That chelik, that portion of the animal, cannot be considered, cannot be counted in as part of the basar supply, the edible supply of the Korban Pesach, if one should even eat that portion, which right now is still soft and edible. He will not yoytze be yoytze his mitzvah of Korban Pesach, nor can we allocate it to the Bnei HaChabura, where each one is meant to get at least a kezayis in the carbon. You can't count in this portion, because you know eventually when the animal grows and matures, it won't be edible. So the formula is, kol hanechal b'sher hagadol, any portion of an animal which is still soft and edible, when it is featured in a fully grown, mature ox, the ochel b'gdi harach, is considered to be edible in this young and tender goat. The Mefarshim explain, we find the pasuk, a comparison, the Torah lists sheep with cattle, even though cattle is not meant for the Korban Pesach. Why does the pasuk by Korban Pesach list them together to create that correlation? Only something which is fully and easily edible in a shur and an ox can be considered ro'i la'achila and counted in into the food supply, into the basar supply of the Korban Pesach when it is a young and tender Korban Pesach. V'roshe knofayim v'haschusim. What are examples of things that eventually turn hard and edible? Rosh Hashanah, the edges of the shoulder of the animal, and schusim are various cartilages which we find in the animal, which when it's still young and tender, they're fully edible, but then they grow hard. Says Rashi, right off to the side here, masnisin kol hanechal b'sher hagadol. Anything which is still edible, when we have a mature ox, shekvar hukshu kol ma she'osad l'hakshus, but when everything has already hardened, and these are still edible, then that's considered oichel, it's considered basar, and it can be counted in to the food supply when we have a young and tender animal, yo'ochel b'gdi harach, ro'i l'achila, it is considered ro'i l'achila b'pesach ben shmoni yamim. Aval ma she'ein, which is the minimum, it must be 8 days, old. Aval ma she'ein nechal b'sher hagadol, but something which is no longer edible in this fully grown ox, ein nimnan olav b'pesach, that can't be considered, can't be counted into the supply of a Pesach. Aval b'she'achshav rachu, even though this Korban Pesach happens to be young and tender, asud l'hakshus b'sayfai, because eventually it's going to harden. V'rosh ha'knafayim v'aschusim, she'keren tibrus she'b'rosh gava kosef, ashprulan v'aschusin shara aschus she'boi. So either the tips of the shoulders or the other cartilages going to nechayizin, the one we find the ear of aschusia chazan, the chest area of atzlois aktanis shibusav hashedu at the edge of the spine. Continues the Gemara. Rabba Rami, Rabba had a stira. Our Mishnah says tnan kol anechav b'sher hagadol yochel b'gdi harach. Mishnah initiates by giving us that formula. If it's edible in the sher hagadol, that's considered roi l'achila in the gdi harach. Apparently, v'she'enoy nechal loy, but otherwise it's not considered roi l'achila and cannot be considered as part of the basar supply, even though now it's a young and tender and soft animal. If it's not roi there, it's not considered basar here. Ema sefer. Let's proceed to the next part of the mission. Roshe knafayim v'aschusim. These are examples of things which can be considered. Well, these items are really inedible by Yasher HaGadol. The Rosh HaKnafayim and the Schusim, the various cartilages, they harden once the animal grows and matures. As Rashi points out, the only way you'll eat it is by excessively cooking it, shlika. So how can the Mishnah cite these things as examples of things that are edible even when the animal turns old and mature? Elatanoihi says Rava, apparently our Mishnah contains two shitas. Vachiktane, this is how the Mishnah is meant to be read. We begin Kol Hanechal B'Sher HaGadol. Anything that can be eaten that's readily edible without excessive cooking, without applying any extensive processes. Kol Hanechal B'Sher HaGadol Yo'ochal B'Gdi HaRach is considered Roi L'Achila B'Yagdi HaRach. V'She'ein Hanechaloi, but otherwise not. V'Yesh Oimrim, and the Mishnah continues with another shita. Some say, Af Roshik Nafayim V'Aschusim, even these items which are technically edible if you heavily cook them, in which case they're considered Nechal B'Sher HaGadol, even though you have to heavily cook it, it's considered Nechal, and therefore you could count it in. You can calculate it as being part of the achila portion of the Korban Pesach. So according to Rabbah, we have two shitas regarding an item which currently is edible in the Gdi Harach, but eventually will harden, but even then will be eaten, will be edible via a shlika overcooking process. What is the lacha there? Do we deem it edible or not? Tanakhama says, no. And the other sheet in the Mishnah says yes. Rava Amar, he disagrees. All hold that something which can be eaten via the shlika process is considered fully edible. The Mishnah means like this. You need to have something which is edible in the Sher HaGadol to be considered Roi L'Achila. Mahen Ketani, what are these things? Give me some examples, says the Mishnah. V'hachik Tani, Kol Hanecha B'Sher HaGadol B'Shilka. The Mishnah begins, anything which is eaten by the Sher HaGadol, even if it needs to be heavily cooked to make it edible, that is considered Roi L'Achila, and Ye'ochal B'Gdi HaRach will allow it to be eaten by Gdi HaRach B'Tzli through Tzli, meaning something which although needs to be heavily cooked once it's a Sher HaGadol, that is enough to categorize it as Roi L'Achila, and therefore it allows it to be eaten and to be Yotze the Mitzvah with it through eating it B'Tzli by Gdi HaRach. Give me some examples. Umayin, Rosh HaKnafayim, Aschusim. These are simply examples of the above-mentioned halacha. According to Rava, there's no machlokes in the Mishnah. It's one continuous Mishnah, which holds that anything which is totally inedible by Asher HaGadol, well, that's not considered Royal Achil, even by Hagdi HaRach, even though it so happens that it's perfectly edible now, but if in the future, or in Asher HaGadol, it's not edible, that's not called Basar. But something which can be eaten later on, even if it needs to be processed through heavy cooking, etc., that is enough to be considered Roi L'Achila. And what falls into that category? These Rosh HaKnafayim and the Schusim cartilages. Tanika was said to Rava, we have a right to Rava, Kol Hanecha B'Sher HaGadol B'Shilka. Very clearly, the correlation between the Gdi and the Sher HaGadol is even when Shulka is required to eat it B'Sher HaGadol. Ye'ochal B'Gdi HaRach, that allows it to be considered Achila by Gdi HaRach, B'Tzli, through Tzli only. So the formula is like this. You'd like to eat this cartilage in the Gdi HaRach through Tzli. Now it's soft and edible. Is it considered Roi L'Achila? The answer is, let's take a look at the Sher HaGadol. Were you to heavily cook it, is it edible? Yeah. Then we consider it now to be Basar. Umahin, what are examples of this halacha? Rosh HaKnafayim V'Aschusim. The Brisa concludes, V'Gidin HaRakin. You meant to know the soft sinews, these tendons, Nidonin Kebasar, they are considered like full-fledged basar. If you eat it, you're Yaitse. If you allocate a kezayis of that for the member, for the Ben HaChabura, he's Yaitse. Now the question is, what kind of gidim are we speaking about? We have a machlekes. Itzmar. Gidim shesefen lahakshis. If we have sinews which will remain soft and edible, will contain a basar flavor to them, all agree, that's considered basar. But suppose the Gidim will eventually harden. They'll harden to the point that the only way to eat them is through excessive cooking, through shlika. What is halacha there? Now, unlike the Rosh HaKnafayim and the Schusim, Tosis explains, where over there, the cartilage has some sort of basar flavor contained in it. It's slightly remotely related to basar. And therefore, we concluded there that even if it's something that's going to harden, but if it has potential edibility, even if it needs to be heavily cooked, that is enough to be considered basar. So in contrast to that, these gidim, Taisis explains, are a different nature than basar. They're tendons. They don't really have basar flavor to them. Now, if they're soft and edible, and they'll always remain that way, then of course it's considered basar. What about the gidim shesoif and lahakshis, who will eventually harden? Harden to the point that the only way they could be eaten is through heavy cooking. Here we have Rabbi Yochanan Omar Nimnin Alein v'Pesach. They could be counted in. Into the basar supply. Rav Shloka Shomer, Ein Nimnin Alein v'Pesach. They cannot. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Nimnin Alein v'Pesach. You could count them in. Why? Basar Hashta Azlinan. We focus on the present state of this item. Currently it's edible. That's enough. And since eventually you could eat it, you could still eat it, you'll have to cook it, heavily cook it. That's enough to be considered basar. Basar hashtazlina. The fact is that now it's perfectly fine. That gives it the din of basar. Rish Lakish Amar. Einim nenalein. No, you can't use them for your basar supply. Basar b'soifazlina. We look down to the future. Basar b'soif. Eventually it's going to harden. You can't consider this oichel. That's not basar. Eisvei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Here's the kash to Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah. Mishnah says, Kol hanechal b'shar ha-godol, ye ochel b'gdei harach. We have a formula. You can eat it when it's grown and mature, then it can be eaten now. Umahin, roshek nafayim v'aschusim. Only these items can be considered roi l'achila. Hani in, only these. Avol gidin shasevin l'akshasloi, but not these gidin. Fact is, the Mishnah only gives us a couple examples. Apparently, gidin and these types of things are not included. Amar leis, Rabbi Yochanan responded, Tanahani. Truly, Mishnah mentioned these, V'adin lahanach. But the same thing will apply to the gidin, shesef and lakshis. Why? Because they're based on the same concept. Hani my taima. Why are the Rosh HaKnafayim and Schusim allowed? Allowed to be reckoned as part of the edible portion of the carbon. My taima. Domas achle b'shar ha-godol b'shulka. As we just explained earlier, because although it hardens when the animal matures, but it can still be eaten through shulka, through heavy cooking. Hanachnami, these as well, these gidin, shesef and lahakshis, these veins, these sinews and tendons, misachle b'shar ha-godol b'shulka. Even when they harden, you can still eat them through shulka, through heavy cooking. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiel Abravin. He instructed Rabbi Abin as follows. Ki azlas l'kamed Rabbi Avo. When you approach Rabbi Avo, Ramile, I'd like you to ask him the following kash. Mi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Gidin shesefen l'akshois, nimnin alein b'pesach. Is that so? That according to Rabbi Yochanan, even those gidin that are going to eventually harden, they are considered part of the basar, part of the edible portion of the animal. Apparently, we look at the present situation. It's edible. It's edible now. It's considered part of the basar. And as Rabbi Yochanan explained, because even eventually when it hardens, it still maintains that basar, that achila status, because it could still be eaten through a process of shlika. Since it's now roi l'achila, it maintains that status throughout. Is that so? The Rabbi Yochanan holds that svar. We know that Rabbi Shlokish asked Rabbi Yochanan the following shayla. Oir ha-reish shel egel harach. What if you have the skin around the head of a young, tender calf? Ma'u sheyitami. Is it considered part of the basar and regarded as oichel and metame, the tuma that oichel is metame? Do we consider skin like basar? V'omar loy, ain metame. Rabbi Yechon responded, no, certainly not. It's not going to be metame. Alma basar b'seif hazlin. Apparently, that's because, even according to Rabbi Yechon, we look ahead to the future. Although the skin of the head of the tender calf is currently perfectly edible, but eventually it's going to harden. And therefore, even now, we cannot consider it as oichel. Now, although we're speaking about something that, even when it hardens, you can heavily cook it, do shlika, and it'll be edible. That's not enough. You cannot consider it oichel. Because eventually it becomes inedible. And this is not in line with Rabbi Yechon in our sugya, who says that these gidin in the Korban Pesach, although eventually they're going to harden, they're considered basar. And the svara, Rabbi Yechon himself said, was because eventually, even when it hardens, they're still edible. There's still some method of making them roi l'achila through heavy cooking. Amalei, so Rabbi Avo responded to this question by saying, "Derama lacha," the person who presented this shaila to you, the one who sent you with this shaila, loichash lekimcha. He evidently wasn't paying attention to what he was grinding, whether it's chitin or inedibles or psoilus. He was just grinding away. He wasn't careful with what he's saying with his words. Why? What was wrong with this question? Because in reality, Rabbi Yechonon really reverted. He reversed his shita. Ha-hadabe, Rabbi Yechonon legabe de Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yechonon changed his mind and agreed with Reish Lakish. Although in our Gemara, Rabbi Yechonon says that the gidin which will eventually harden are considered roi l'achila and can be counted into the Korban Pesach. That was initially. Eventually, he reversed his shita. He acquiesced to Reish Lakish that since eventually it's going to harden, even if you have a way of eating them through heavy cooking, but as Tosis explained, it's different than the cartilage, which resembles in taste, somewhat resembles the basa. Gidna totally different, doesn't have a tam basa. Therefore, if eventually it's going to harden, it's not considered part and parcel of the basa, it's not bottle to the basa, and it's considered inedible. Rabbi Yechon agreed to Reish Lakish. In fact, Rabbi Yechon responded to Reish Lakish. Rashi explains the background of this conversation. Gemara Chulin relates to us that Rabbi Yechon was the one who said that actually not, the skin around the head of the calf is not considered basar. Why? Because eventually the skin is going to turn into hide and it's not going to be edible. That was Rabbi Yechonon's shita. And Reish Lakish challenged him. How can you say that? We have a Mishnah which says that the oira, the skin around the roish of the egel harach, is considered like basa and is metame like basa. Just as basa's makabal tuma, the skin around the head of the calf is soft and tender. It's considered like flesh, like basa, and it's also matami. How can you say it's not? And Rabbi Yechon responded, "Va'amrle al takniteni." Don't tease me. Don't challenge me with that Mishnah. That's not a Mishnah which is agreed upon by all. It's a single shita. Shuvaloshen yachad ani shayna oisa. That Mishnah reflects a view of an individual, of a yachad. That's not agreed upon by the rabbim. The actual halacha is not like that Mishnah, but rather that when you have something which eventually will harden, such as the oyer around the roish egel harach, although currently it's tender and edible, since oyer doesn't really have tam basar, it's like those gidin, doesn't relate in its taste to tam basar, it's something of a totally different nature. So although currently it's edible, but eventually since it's going to harden, you can't consider this roi l'achila. And the chiddush is, even if eventually you could eat it through shlika, through heavily cooking, that's not considered basar. So you see clearly, Rabbi Yechon agrees with Reish Lakish. He holds that something which is not really basar, although currently it's edible, but since eventually it's going to change forms, become inedible, even if it could be eaten through shlika, that's not considered. And therefore, by Karm Pesach, these gidin, which will eventually harden, are not considered basar. The oir haroishel egel harach is not considered basar, it's not metame. And therefore, there's no kasha. Rabbi Yechon has told us that the oir haroishel egel harach is not metame. It's perfectly in line with his shita by Karm Pesach, because eventually he reversed his shita. He agreed with Rish Lakish. Gidin shaseif and lahakshes are not considered oichel. So, conclusion, regarding something which currently is edible, eventually hardens to the point that the only way it could be eaten is through heavy, excessive cooking shlika, we have three halachis. In our Mishnah, we discussed the roshi knofayim, the schusim, these cartilages, which, as Tosfos explained, are unique in terms of the fact that they resemble the tam basar. They contain some sort of basar flavoring. They're closely related to basar, and therefore, in this case, they could be considered part of the achila portion of the Karm Pesach. However, gidin shesef and lakshos, or the oir of the egel harach, these are not considered like basar. Continues the mission. Hashever se etzem ba pesach atar. If one breaks a bone of the Karm Pesach, a proper Karm Pesach, which is a Torah Karm Pesach, boy, he gets 40 malchus, 39, because it's a love. It's a leitzish for a boy. Avol, says the Mishnah, in the following two cases, there will not be malchus. Number one, hamoyse b'tor. If one should leave over some basar of the Karm Pesach, even the Karm Pesach, which is tor, a properly brought Karm Pesach, if he leaves some basar past the expiry date, there's no malchus, because the Gemara will tell us it's a passive love, or because it's connected to an essay. So that's one example. Or of a shaver betame. If one should break a bone in a Karm Pesach which was brought betumah, most of Yisrael were tame. This Pesach was brought betumah, is going to be eaten betumah, and he breaks a bone in that Pesach. There's no issa for doing that. Ein leikas harboim, there's no malchus. Says, when bishlam yamaisa betor, we understand the first halach. If one does noisa by a carbon, there's no malchus, there's sanya. Loisa sir menat boiker, not meant to leave it over. Va noisa menat boiker, the Pesach concludes, ba'ish destroyfu, burn it. By concluding with a mitzvah asay, it's meant to be burnt. The pasuk is in effect changing the din here. Bo hakasa litin asay achalos asay. The pasuk here is presenting an asay, following galos asay. Not meant to leave it over, but if you leave it over, you have a way of fixing up the avera, so to speak, by burning it. Loimar shein loika. This teaches that there's no malchus. The Rebbe. Let's take a look at Rashi here. Five lines in the bottom. It says Rashi bo hakasa. Call lav shnitak laseh in loikin alav. Any lav which is related to an essay generates no malchus. Why? The mashma. Because the pasuk in effect is telling us zui takanose. This is the way to fix to be masak in the lav. Im tavar alav aseh zoi svi notzel. If one committed a lav, do the following and rectify it. Don't leave over the basam. But if one does so, burn it. Another reason why there's no malchus. The loidami lav de chasima. The prime example of malchus is by the chasima muzzling the animal while working with it. Shamalchus nismachlay, over there is the context of malchus, and that's an example for all malchus. Since that is not a lav that contains an essay, malchus apparently only applies to a malchus, to a lav which has no essay. Getting back to our Gemara Noiser, since it has a lav but also an essay, it is free of malchus. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that explains the first halacha of the Mishnah. There's no malchus by Noiser. Rabbi Yaakov, Oymer, lo yimun Hashem uze. Actually, this is not the reason for lack of malchus. Elo mishum dehavali lav shem b'maisa. Rather, the reason is because it's a passive love. It wasn't an active love. He didn't actually do anything. He just neglected. He allowed the basa to remain beyond the zman achila. Ve'in loikin love, and there's no malchus for a love shem b'maisa. So noisar doesn't generate malchus. We have two reasons. That's understood. Ella says the Gemara, Shaver b'tamei minol. How do we know that if one should break a bone in the Karm Pesach, which is tamei, there's no malchus there as well? The pasuk says, Ve'etzem le'sishperu boy. You're not meant to break a bone in the Karm Pesach. Boy is an extra word to teach us, boy be kosher. Only in the Karm Pesach kosher, you may not break a bone. v'leibapasal, but once it's pasal, there's no iser shviras etz. Tanu rabbanan. The Gemara here will present us with an alternative source for the same halach. The brisa begins v'etzem loisish b'ruboy. Again, the same drasha. Boy is bekosher, v'leibapasal. Tanakama learns from the word boy, a pesach which is pasal, involves no iser of shviras etz. Rabbi Omer, I have another source. Because the pasuk begins as follows. B'bayis echad yachel. The pasuk continues, lo yiseitzi minabayis minabas achutza, and concludes, ve'etzem lo yisish b'ruboy. Says Rabbi, we can learn from this that the halacha of shviras etzem is very much related with the edibility of the karm, with the achil of the karm. Kol roi la'achila yesh ba mishum shviras etzem. A karm pesach, which is roi la'achila, has a din, has an issa of breaking its bone. We learned, we mentioned earlier, Sefer HaChinuch says, not to eat the karm pesach, derech malchus, derech cheres, dignified, not rather than devouring it and chomping and breaking the bones. So the issa of breaking bones is very closely related to the mitzvah sachila. Says Rabbi, when a karm pesach is roi la'achila, wrapped along with issa achila comes along issa of breaking its bones. However, v'she'en roi l'achila, but otherwise, if it's not roi l'achila, ein boi mishum shviras etzem, there's no issa of breaking a bone. Rabbi seems to be adding, I think Morrison will explain, we actually have eight approaches to understand this machlekes. Rabbi's going to add another dimension here. He agrees with the Tanakhama that if it's possible, there's no din shviras etzem, but he adds that it also has to be roi l'achila to generate the issa of breakage. Now, what is the nafkamina? Is there any halachic ramification to this machlekes? Whether it's dependent on pasul or kosher, or whether the royal achila is determinant? My benai, Omar Rabbi Yirmiya, Pesach abba betumah yikub benai. Suppose you throw with Tommy, they brought the Pesach betumah. That would be the nafkamina. Lamanda makasha, according to Tanakama, it needs to be kosher to have an isra or shviras etzim, high pasul. This Pesach, since it was brought to Tumo, is considered pasul. It doesn't have the same status. It's not at the same level as a Korban Pesach kosher. And therefore, there's no isra of breakage. L'mandama roi l'achila, according to Rebbe. The determinant is roi l'achila, hainami roi l'achilu. Even though it's a Korban Pesach betuma, but you're going to eat it. And therefore, there's isra of shviras etzim. Let's take a look at Rashi on top. Hi, possible. This is Tanakama. It's possible. Shanasa b'psul. The tumah tchuyi b'tzibur. There's no hetel chatchila to bring a carbon tumah. It's out of necessity. It's a b'diavet. It doesn't have the same level as a carbon pesach b'tahara. Ela shakan gzeis akosel lepoitrim boitav. He says, even this low level carbon, you can be yotze with. But it's not the highest level. And there's no isur of bone breakage. Whereas according to Rebbe, Hai Barachilu, you're going to eat it, because it's not HaPesach Shabbat Batum and Achabatum. If it's Roi L'Achilu, there's an Isser of Shviras Etz. That's Rabbi Yirmiyah's approach. Continues the Gemara in the second line. Rav Yosef Amar, he disagrees. This is not a Nafkamina. Kol Ki Hai Gavna. This type of case of a Pesach Shabbat Batum, the Kuli Alma Ein Boi Mishum Shviras Etz. Everybody agrees there's no Isser. The Rebbe like Kuli Ka'asi. Rebbe was somebody coming to me, Molinin Tanakama, Vahayo Pasalu. This Pesach is Pasal. It doesn't have the kashrus as of a typical Korban Pesach. Even Rebbe would agree, there's no Issa Shviras Etzem here. Rebbe agrees to the condition of kashrus. He's simply coming to add another dimension. But the Pesach Betum is considered Pasal. Even according to Rebbe, there's no Issa Shviras Etzem. Rather, the nafkamin is like this. Suppose at one point the Pesach was kosher, and then after the akrova became pasul, like atomic, that would be the nafkamin. L'madam are kosher, ha-kosheru. According to Tanakama, the criterion is kashrus. Well, since at some point this Korban Pesach was roi l'achila, this is a shviras etzem, even though currently it's not. L'mandama roi l'achila, but according to Rabbi, since it needs to be roi l'achila, it needs to be practically roi l'achila. Ha'hashta lav roi l'achilu. Currently it's not roi l'achila. There's no issa shviras etz. Abaye Omar, No. Even according to the Tanakhama, there's no Isser here. My time, Hashta Mias Apostle. Who cares if in the past there was a point in time that it was kosher? Right now, is Apostle here? Apostle has no Isser. Ella says Abaye Shvirasa Etzem Mibayoimikibanai. The Nafkamina between Tanakhama and Rebbe is whether or not a person can break a bone while it's still day Erev Pesach. Pre Zman Achila. L'madam are kosher, according to Tanakhama, who holds the kosher as the criterion, ha-kosheru. This Pesach is kosher. There's an issue to break the bones. L'madam are l'achila, according to Rebbe, ha-shalav bar-achilu. You can't eat the carbon now, it's still Erev Pesach. Therefore, breakage is allowed. Meisvei, we ask the kasha on Abaye. Rebbe himself said, nimnin al-moyach shabarosh. The Bnei Chabura can allocate amongst themselves, each one is a kazayis, they can count in the tissue, the matter within the skull, brain matter, since it's royal achil. Ve'ein nimnin al moyach shebekulis. However, they cannot count in the edible portion within the hip bone, because it's inaccessible. You can't break that bone to access the edible matter. Why that difference between the moyach shabarosh and the marrow in the hip? Al moyach shabarosh my time. Why is that considered accessible? Since he can access it, he can pull out the moyach shabarosh through the nostrils without breaking the actual skull. However, the moyach in the kulis is inaccessible. Says the Gemara, according to Abaye, v'isach gadaitach. Shvirasa etzem boidyoim shabardami. According to Abayu, tells us that Rebbe, who holds that shvirasa etzem is synonymous with edibility, who holds that mi boidyoim you can break, kuli is nami nitbrim boidyoim. What's wrong with the hip bone? Crack it open while it's still day. Lafkula moich the day. Extract the content. V'nim no lay. Let them count it into the carbon pesach. Omalach Abayu, says Abayu, now according to you. So you say, well, even by gem you can't break through a bone. Okay, granted, let's say. According to you, forget about daytime. Even at night you can access. You can access the content. How? Nice, gurmasa. Let them bring a burning coal, put it on the bone, and have it burn through the bone surface, and access the content. Vinikla, have it burn through the surface. Let them extract the content. Let them count it into the carb. There's nothing wrong with breaking a bone through burning it. You can't crack a bone, but you can burn through it. The person burns through bones. Cuts through tendons, non-bone matter. Why does Rabbi say you can't factor in the content of the hip bone because it's inaccessible? It's perfectly accessible. Burn through the surface. Elamais lechlemeimer. Apparently, he says, Abaye, you must say that there is a rabbinic concern. It's a derabban. All the minatur, it's accessible, but the rabban, we don't allow you to do it. Why? Abaye omer mishum poka, concerned about bursting. Sure, the coal will burn through this part of the bone, but perhaps on the other side, account of that heat, the bone will crack open and bursting is not allowed. That's called shvira. We're concerned about that. Therefore, you can't tinker with the bone. Rav Amram Shem Hefsid Kachem, we're concerned about spoiling the content. The Kamaf Slibia Dayim, because there's a concern that it will actively, manually ruin the content. Dilma Ochel Nurim and Boyach today, perhaps the fire will actually burn through past the bone layer and into the content and ruin the content. Rather, just leave it alone, even though it becomes nicer, but at least you're not doing something wrong actively. Rather than burn it and get involved and perhaps be mafsa the kachin. That's why Rebbe holds something inside the kulius is inaccessible on account of the issa de rabbanon. This is all Abaye responding. Apparently there's a rabbanon concern. If so, says Abaye, although according to Rebbe, technically minatur, one may break a bone by jayim, but there's an issa de rabbanon to do so, concerned that one thing might lead to the next. If you allow it to be done by day, perhaps it's going to lead him to do so at night as well. And that's why Rebbe says that you can't be nimne, you can't count in the bone content, which is inaccessible. But certainly Abaye sticks to his guns. The machlekes between Tanakama and Rebbe is whether or not you can break a bone in Boidyoim, according to Tanakama, it's a carbon kosher. You can't, according to Rebbe, it's not Roi Lachil at that point. And therefore you can break it. Rav Papa Amar, he disagrees. Kol ki ay gavna. Kuli alma yeshwa mishan shvir setzen. Daytime, all agree, there's an issa to break. My time, l'urta mikhsa lachil. Fact is, coming up soon, at night time, it's Roi Lachil. Even according to Rebbe, it's called Roi Lachil. Just wait a little bit. Have a little patience. But the Karm Pesach, by definition, is Roi Lachil. You can't break its bones. So all agree it's us. Ella, rather, what is the nafkamina between Rebbe and Tanakama? Be'ever sheyotza miktsasa kemifliki. Regarding an Eber, a limb of the Karm Pesach, which was partially taken out of Yerushalayim. The meat on that part is pasul be'yotzi, and the inner portion of the Evers is kasha. The question is, can one break the bone portion, which is directly beneath the basa, which is inedible, which is pasul? Madam kasher, according to Tanakama, that the determinant is kasherus. Well, ha kasheru. This aver, since at least part of it is kasher, it is considered an aver kasher, and you may not break a bone anywhere along this aver. Madam roi lachilu, but according to Rebbe, haila varachilu. Fact is, the outer part of this aver is not roi lachila. Therefore, you may break a bone beneath that bus. Because as soundly as we find a similar shita, Rabbi Shmuel b'noi shabruichem break oimer. Aver sheyasem ektsasai, if an aver left Yerushalayim, partially, v'shavar and he broke that portion, ein boi mishan shiris etzim, there's no is. Rav Sheshes breder of Ido Omar, he has a different approach to the nafkamina between the Tanakama, whose prime determinant is kashrus and pasulus, versus Rebbe who holds roi lachila determines the halach. He says like this: Rashi Rebbe Amar Kolkai Gavna Dukuli Alma Eima Mishum Shir Setzim. In this case, where the Aver was only partially transported out of Yerushalayim, all agree there's no Issa Shir Setzim on the outer portion. The High Aver Apostle, look, it's possible. This Basar is possible. Even Tanakama would agree it's mutter to break that part. Ela shvirasa etzem b'no ike b'nayu. The nafkamina will be regarding a Pesach which was partially roasted. No. We learned earlier in the Masechta that you can only eat it when it's properly roasted. But if it's only no partially roasted, it can't be eaten at this point. Can one break a bone in a partially roasted carbon Pesach? That'll be the nafkamina. Madam or kosher, according to Tanakama, kasherus is important. How kosher? It's kosher. And therefore there's an issue. Umanda Omar Roi Lachila, but according to Rebbe, it needs to be Roi Lachila. Hashta any Roi Lachila. In its current state. Is it Roi Lachila? No. May break bones. Ranachim Yitzchak Omar, Kol Ki HaGavra. He says, well, in this case where it's partially roasted, Yeshva Mishin Shvir Se'etzim. All would agree that it's us, even Rebbe. Why? My time. The Chaz Lachila. It has potential Achila. The matfilei v'achle, just complete the roasting process and eat it. There's nothing inherently wrong with this carbon. And even according to Rebbe, there's an issur of breaking bones. Ella says of Nachman Yitzchak, I'll tell you the nafkamina between the shittas. Shvirus ha'aliy ikibenayu. The aliyah, the tail portion of the sheep, is meant to go on the mizbeach, not be eaten by the owner. What if you break the bone in the aliyah of the carbon pesach? L'madam rakasha, according to the shita Tanakama, where kashrus plays the role, ha-kashru, it's perfectly kosher. This carbon is kosher. This is an iser of shviras etzim. L'madam roi lachila, according to Rebbe, who requires roi lachila, hi, ain't a roi lachila. This thing is not roi lachila. The alil gavoya salk, it's meant to go on the mizbeach. And therefore, there's no iser of shviras etzim. Rav Ashi disagrees. Rav Ashi omar kol ki ha-gavna, well, in this case, vaday ain't but mishin shviras etzim. Even according to Tanakama, there's no Isser. Why? The Avadei ain't a real Achila klal. This is out of the realm of Achila. It's part of the Hakrava. Even Tanakama holds it has to relate somewhat to being part of the achila portion of the carbon. Something which belongs to the mizbeach certainly has no din of shviras etzem. Elo, so what then is the nafkamina between the two shittas? Aver she'ein olav kazayis basar ikubanayim. Suppose the aver which he's breaking does not feature a kazayis, which is a shir achila, kazayis of basar. Can you break that bone? Here's the nafkamina. L'mandam akasha, according to Tanakama, hakasharu, it's perfectly kosher, and you can't break its bone. L'mandam aroyel achila bina, according to Rebbe, shir achila v'lak. L'mandam aroyel achila, b'inan shir achila, but like, according to him, you need to have achila here. Kazayis of basar, which provides a shir achila. If this aver doesn't contain a kazayis of basar, that's not regarded as royal achila, and therefore there's no ishur or shvir setz. Ravina Amar, he disagrees. Kol kai gavna leis beimish mishvir setz. In this case, where the bone features less than a kazayis of basar, we'll agree, even the Tanakama would agree, there's no issur of breaking its bone. To be in a shira achila, this bone has to relate to achila at least. It has to have a shira of achila. It has to be within the realm of the edible portion of the Korban Pesach. Even according to Tanakama. Elo eiver she'en olav kazayis basar b'mokam zeh. The nafkamina will be in a case where at the point of breakage, where you'd like to break his bone, there's no kazayis there. But the yesh olav kazayis basar mokam achar ikar b'nayim. But there is basar elsewhere in this bone, on the other side. That's the nafkamina. L'madam akasher, according to Tanakama, with kashrus is the vital ingredient. Hakasher hu, this aver is kasher, and it has a kazayis on it. It falls within the realm of the edible portion of the Korban Pesach. Although right here at this point of breakage, there's no kazayis, but the aver is serving achila. It has a kazayis elsewhere. L'madam royal achila, but according to Rebbe, who requires royal achila, b'inan shir achila makam shvira. According to him, you need to have a shir achila right here. Where are you going to eat? Where the achila is going to apply, that's where there's an issa of breakage. And since at the point of breakage, there's no kazayis, there's no issa of breaking that bone. Volek, there's no kazayis. So conclusion, regarding breaking an etzem, the Korban Pesach, of two shittas. Tanakama says it only applies to a Korban Pesach, which is kosher. Boy, says etzem l'tishvu, boy. The kosher of the apostle. Rabbi says a bit further. Look, the pasuk begins describing the achil of the Korban Pesach, b'yisach adi achal, and concludes with the iser of breaking its bone. Only a Pesach, which is royal achila, contains that iser. What is nafkamina? We have no less than 8 approaches. Approach number 1, Pesach Baba Tuma. According to Tanakama, that's not kosher. It's a lower level. It's a downgraded Pesach. Therefore, there's no Issur Shvir Setz. According to Rabbi, it's Royal Achil. Most of Yisrael Tmei, we can eat this carbon. There's an Issur Shvir Setz. The next approach in the Gemara was that we're speaking about a Pesach which is, although currently Pasul, however, it had a state of kosher in the past, Shasa Kosher, and then it became Pasul. According to the Tanakama, once this Pesach had already achieved that higher status of kashrus, it doesn't really lose it to some extent, and the Isser of Shviras Etzem, once it applied, it remains intact. According to Rebbe, it needs to be practically Royal Achila. Fact is, right now it's possible, and therefore there's no Isser of Shviras Etzem. Next trap in the Gemara was, the Nafkimin will be me by Joim, who won't break a bone when it's pre-Zman Achila, it's the letter of Pesach. According to Tanakama, no. The Issur Shvir Setzim applies there as well because it's a kosher carbon. But according to Rebbe, this doesn't apply because it's not Royal Achila at this point. Next chat was, we're speaking about an Eivar Shiyotzim Ketzasai. Part of the Eivar left Yerushalayim, part of it is kosher, part is pasul. According to Tanakama, the Issur applies there as well because at least part of the Eivar is kosher. According to Rebbe, the fact is, on this side of the Eivar, the Basar is not Royal Achila. Therefore, you can break the bone on that side. The next pshat in the Gemara was speaking about improperly roasted carbon partially roasted. No. According to Tanakama, the Isra applies there as well. It's kosher. According to Rebbe, it's not Rilachila. We had an afkamina regarding Alya, the tail of the animal. According to Tanakama, it's kosher. According to Rebbe, it's not Rilachila. It goes in the Mizbech. Next shot in the Gemara was speaking that the Aver has no kazayas of Basra on it. According to Tanakam, it's still kosher, according to Rebbe, but there's no achilah there. The next part was that we're speaking that there is a kazayas basar on the Aver, however, not at the place of breakage. Not for Mokam Zeh. According to Tanakam, the Isra applies there as well. But according to Rebbe, since the Shavira is not taking place at the Mokam Achilah, there's no Isra there. Continues the Gemara right before the wide lines. Tanya, we have a brice in support of Ka'arbo'a Minai, in support of four versions, four pshatim in Rebbe Shita. Tesanya Rebbe Oim, Bais Echad Yochel, Ve'etzem Le'tish Berubay. We learn from this that Dafka on the Kasher, ala Kasher Ruchai, and the Chayiv ala Pasel. The Isser of Shviras Etzem only applies to a proper, to a carbon Kasher, which is Re'el Achila. Now, we have various ways of interpreting this introduction. So we have introductory words of Rebbe. What exactly does he mean? How do we define this? Explains the Braisa. Suppose the carbon was kosher at a certain point, that karava was done properly, but once you got to the one time you got to Zman Achila, the carbon is no longer edible, it's possible. Ein boy mishum shviras etzem. There's no shviras etzem because it needs to be roi lachil. This supports that pshat in the Gemara that we look practically at the point of achil. Continues the brisa. Likewise, in the following case, yesh boy shir achila. Only if it has a shir achila, the shir kazai is there, whether it's on the bone or at the point of breakage, depending on the two ways mentioned earlier. So only there do we say yesh po mishum shviras etzem, but ein bo shir achila. If there's no shir achila there, ein bo mishum shviras etzem. This supports that approach in the Gemara. Continues the brisa, haroi l'mizbeach ein bo mishum shviras etzem. The tail, which is meant for the mizbeach, that's not called roi l'achila. There's no shviras etzem. That supports that pshat in the Gemara. And finally, b'shas achila yesh po mishum shviras etzem. Only during this Zman Achila, once night time arrived, then there's an Isser, Shlebishas Achila, but when it's still daytime, prior to Zman Achila, Ein Boi, Mishum Shviras Etzem, there's no Isser. So we have four definitions in this Braisa, which support those respective approaches in the Gemara in interpreting the Machlokes in Rebbe and Tanaka. In time for a quick Chazara, we began with a Mishnah, which laid out a formula. You can have a young and tender goat, in which case there's lots of edible portions there which are currently roi l'achil, but eventually they harden, especially if we're speaking about a grown and mature ox, a shor hagadol, we have some parts there that will no longer be edible. The Mishnah tells us it needs to be uniform. Whatever is edible down the line is considered edible, and the true basar, which can be counted into the basar supply of the Karban Pesach. But otherwise, you can't count it in. The Gemara explained for us that even if it's going to need some processing, shalika, heavy cooking, that is also considered edible in the Shor HaGadol, and that is considered roi l'achila for the Karban Pesach. So when something is edible, eventually, ayidei shalika, if we're speaking about things which resemble basar and their flavor, for instance, the Rosh HaKnafayim, these schusim, these cartilage items, we consider them to be roi l'achil even now. But the gid and the tendons, which are dissimilar to basar and their flavor, etc., and they will eventually harden, even if they can be eaten later through shlika, that's not considered basar. Although initially the Gemara brought a machlokes between Reich and Reish Lakish, the Gemara concluded that Reich was moided to Reish Lakish. That's not possible. The same thing regarding the oir of the eagle harach, the skin around the head of a young calf, which will eventually harden. That's not considered basar, and it's not metame to masaychel. We proceeded to the Mishnah. The only time we have malchus is one breaks an etzem in a carbon pesach, which is tar. However, should he break a bone in a carbon pesach, which is tameh, there's no malchus and there's no iser. Likewise, if he leaves over some basar of any carbon pesach, although it's aser, but there's no malchus, well, provided two reasons. Either it's a lav hanitek lasei, or because it's a lav she'im amais. We proceeded with a brisa. The iser of breaking a bone only applies to a carbon pesach kosher and not a pasul. That's a tanakama. Rebbe says it only applies to something roi l'achila. We had no less than 8 approaches to explain this machlekes, and we concluded with a brisa in support of 4 of those definitions. Be well and hatzlacha rabbah.